Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
How's everyone doing? Are you good? It's good to see you. If you're a guest today, massive welcome. And we are in a little thing called Go Into All the World. And we're in the book of Acts. Who likes the book of Acts? Anybody? Yeah, we love it. And so we talked about Philip last week. Who remembers? Home team Philip and Philip the evangelist. But today, everybody, we're talking about Barnabas. Can you just give it up for Barney? Come on, give it up for Barnabas. And we're going to have a great, great day. It is always a great day when Pastor Phil Pringle is in the room. Can you honor our founder, our hero, leader of our movement? We love you, Pastor Phil. Pastor Chris was in the 8:30. We love you. You're the best. Yeah. It's a great, great honor. And, you know, go into all the world. The beautiful thing about living in Sydney is to go into all the world, you don't have to leave. Can I get a good amen today, everybody? Everybody is in Sydney. And it's wonderful. Just yesterday, my dad and I were getting some resources for the reno. And so we went to a place called Sefton. Anybody been to Sefton? Come on, we love Sefton. Sefton, right near Auburn, right next to Lidcombe, right near Rookwood Cemetery. Cemetery? It's a Tory. It's a long shout out. Anyway, so we went there and we went into this store, a shop, to buy some waterproofing resources. And so we went in and it was like this beautiful Lebanese community just running this shop. And it was amazing. We walked in, it was just all happening. They were having breakfast on a forklift on the pallet. And it was like a three-course meal for breakfast. And we went to just get some waterproofing. We started to chat to them. Dad struck up a conversation and we got our waterproofing materials and we walked out with falafels. And I thought, this is so good right here in Sydney. And I'm believing for every Lebanese person in the city of Sydney to come to Jesus. Come on, can I get a good amen today? Amen. Right there in Sefton. You don't have to leave Sydney to go into all the world. And that is what we're talking about. Barnabas is a beautiful picture of this that we're looking at today. The big point here is that the Holy Spirit gives us the grace and the power to share the good news of Jesus with the world around us. Last week, I told you a story in our preschool. Billy Kids Oaks was singing a song, and it was actually a song from church. And this lady asked, "Where's that song from?" He said, "Oh, it's from church." And then I met her, and she said, "Oh, I think you go to church. Do you go to church?" I said, "Yeah, I go to church." And she said, "What church?" I said, "That one with the big orange roof on the parkway." She said, "I know that one." And she told me about how her son is super lost and she wants to bring him to church. And I said, "You should all come." And then this week, we just heard she was at football on the weekend with her son playing in the team and her friend sitting next to her, whose son is also playing in the team. And she was telling her friend, "Oh, this new couple, they came to preschool and their pastor's down at that church, C3, and the lady said, "Oh yeah, I know Jessen." She said, "I was her first connect group leader." Everybody, this lady is surrounded. How many people are there right now in our city that God is orchestrating? The Holy Spirit is orchestrating. I mean, the book of Acts is about what the Holy Spirit was doing. it's less about what the disciples and the apostles were doing. They were just serving the Holy Spirit. He's the one orchestrating it, connecting, doing the things that we cannot do. Can I get a good amen today? So Holy Ghost. And so we read the book of Acts with the book of Luke, because what Jesus had, he has given to the church. It's the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about Philip's yes to God was yes to God. What a profound point. We talked about how Philip responded to the need in front of him. Today we're talking about Barnabas. So I want you to grab your Bible. I got my paper Bible here, my leather, it's not leather, it's paper cardboard Bible. Grab yours. TYB shout out and grab your Bibles. All our teenagers, look at these, all the teenagers, put your Bibles in the air. Look at that. We are so proud of you. We're cheering you on. You guys are going to change the world. You're going to change this city, change our nation. So we're going through the book of Acts. I need you to track with me, because we're going to follow Barnabas' story through a few different sections of Acts. Is that all right? So you need to be ready to keep up with me. We've got a big Bible on the screen, but I'd love you to grab out your Bible. Go to Acts 4, 36 to 37. Are you there? Nobody. All right. How good was Sophie Renton meeting leading? Woo! Such a weapon. And Glenn Vade's story, sir. We just love you, adore you, and Michelle. So thankful for you. Acts 4, 36 to 37. You should be there now. It says this, verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. So Barnabas was not actually Barnabas's name. His name was Joseph, but they nicknamed him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Verse 37, it says, he sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Remember, whenever you see in scripture someone putting money or doing something at the feet of another, it is a picture of surrender and submission. Like the woman with the alabaster jar, she poured oil on Jesus' feet. That was Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet with Martha. The apostles had so many things happening, and here were people bringing in Acts 2, they're bringing gifts in Acts 4, they're laying it at the feet of the apostles. And the first thing we read about Barnabas is this, that he brings an offering and he lays it at the feet of the apostles, saying, you know what? I submit this to you. Use it for the kingdom as you see fit. Come down to Acts 9, verse 26, 27. It says this, when he came to Jerusalem, speaking of Paul, Saul, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Probably fair enough, because he'd been killing Christians. Not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Then we go down to Acts 11, 22 to 26. Barnabas was deeply involved in the expansion of the early church. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad, and he did what Barnabas does, encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Look what they say about Barnabas. Look what they say. They said a similar thing about Philip. Do you remember? He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus, which is where Saul was. He did university in Tarsus, and he was there. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Thank Barnabas for the title Christian, because Barnabas was there when the first Christians were named. Then we go into Acts 13, God's using Barnabas to teach and to preach, and the Holy Spirit leads the apostles to send Barnabas and Saul, who's Paul, out to do ministry together. Then we come down into Acts 15. How you doing? You doing all right? You tracking with me? Acts 15 says sometime later, verse 36, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark. This is John Mark. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. So here, this is a bit of a Paul thing to do. And so there's a bit of a confrontation. But Barnabas stands up for Mark, John Mark. Believes in him nonetheless. He did fail, but he believed in him nonetheless. Paul went off, Barnabas went off and kept believing in Mark. And look what happens in 2 Timothy 4 verse 11. Paul writes to Timothy and he says this, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark, John Mark, and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in ministry." Barnabas kept believing in John Mark, and the fruit of it was that John Mark was restored into ministry with Paul. Isn't that awesome? So, Lord, we thank you for the life of Barnabas. God, help us learn, help us grow. Let your word speak right into our heart and soul today. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you thank Curtis? Get out of here. I love you. Three things I want us to learn from Barnabas today. If you're taking notes, three things we want to learn from Barnabas today. The first thing is that before Barnabas was anything, he was surrendered. Before he was anything, he was surrendered. We read in Acts 2 that the church is growing. The church is expanding. Disciples are increasing. People are getting baptized. We read about the 3,000 that got baptized. And when you read the book of Acts, can I tell you? I mean, the idea that church should be just kept small, it's just not in the scriptures. It's not about big church. It's about reaching people. And so 3,000 people got baptized. And the disciples were increasing. This is the call on the church. To increase in disciples, to increase in followers of Jesus. That is the call on the church, and that's what's happening in the book of Acts. And so they're reading through, and people are giving. People are laying money at the feet of the apostles, and they are called they. No one specific is highlighted, but Barnabas. Luke highlights Barnabas for the gift that he gives. Could it be because it was so significant? Could be. Probably likely because they are highlighting the character of this man who's going to play a key part in the expansion of the gospel. And what's amazing about Acts 4, you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? The incredible thing about Acts 4 is that Acts 5 is right after it. And in Acts 5, there's this couple called Ananias and Sapphira. And right after Barnabas's gift, if you've never heard of Ananias and Sapphira, I'm going to tell you and you're going to understand why some people went, ooh. Ananias and Sapphira, they bring a gift straight after Barnabas. And Luke in the ESV says, but Ananias and Sapphira, almost to compare their offering to Barnabas's, because they bring an offering that they said was the full amount of a piece of property that they sold. They said, Peter said, you lied to us and you lied to the Holy Spirit. They say they're bringing the whole amount, but they don't bring the whole amount. They bring almost the whole amount, which, by the way, would have been pretty amazing. Very generous. So the issue was not with the amount. Can I get a good amen, everybody? That was not the issue. The issue was with the heart. That they said one thing, but they actually had another thing going on. They were not pure in their surrender. It was not the full picture of their surrender. Do you know what happens? They die. And I'm not trying to scare you today, but that's a bit scary. In the New Testament, the point here is that Barnabas brought a full, wholehearted offering to God. No guile. No half measure in it. Not hiding what was really happening. And the thing about surrender is I don't think you can say you're fully surrendered until your finances are a part of that surrender. How you're doing today? To say I'm surrendered to God, but my finances are not, is not full surrender. Jesus said, you're going to serve God or money. You're going to serve God or mammon. You cannot serve both. You'll love one, hate the other. So when we bring our offering to God, we are teaching our finances, you're not boss, God is boss. I serve God and money, you serve me as I serve him. I don't serve you, I'm not afraid of you, I'm not living under you. Come on, everybody. We don't live under finances. We bring our whole life to God and we lay it at his feet, surrendered for him to do as he pleases for his kingdom, for his glory, for his church. Amen. So everything that was happening started at this point with surrender. And I want to remind you, we are not here just to fill buildings. Filling buildings will come for the ride. We're not there yet, but we're gonna fill buildings all over Sydney, but that's not the point. The point is to fulfill the Great Commission, to raise up disciples, to be a mobilized body of Christ, to serve one another, to be in community together, to give surrendered wholeheartedly, and to be a witness, to be on a mission. Second point about Barnabas, first thing is that he was surrendered. Second thing is that Barnabas was free from that main character energy. He was free from that main character energy where it was all about him. It was not all about Barnabas. He didn't push for recognition. He raised others up, even when it meant he had to step back. Barnabas was not the center of his story. He was not the main character of the story. And can I remind you, none of us are. Jesus is the main character of this story. Jesus is the main character of C3SYD. He's the main character. We are here for a little while, but he's been here long before us, and he's going to remain long after us. He is the main character. Come on, church, if we're going to clap, if we're going to... Come on online. Barnabas believed in others, even when others didn't. He brought Paul into the fold. He stood by John Mark when he failed. Look again at Acts 9 with me. It says, when he came to Jerusalem, this is Saul, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas. Everyone say, but Barnabas. But Barnabas. You know, there's this great book, it's called But God, written by one of the generals in the faith, Pastor Phil Pringle. And you know what I've found is that often But God turns up like a But Barnabas. Often we're waiting for God. Thanks, Sondi. Often we're waiting for God to show up and somebody else shows up on God's behalf. We're waiting for this beautiful encounter with the Lord. that'll blow your socks off. But then he sends you a person. And that person is but God. I mean, I remember being a youth pastor, just all my friends gone. And I thank God for but Mitch Hammond. Yeah, but Mitch Hammond turned up, didn't even invite him over. He just turned up on my front door, knocked on the door, said, I'm taking you out for dinner, let's go. And came around me, prayed with me, supported me. I thank God for but Steve and Simone Bullen. Last year was a difficult year. It was a big year. I thank God for Brad and Renee Goosen. But Brad and Renee Goosen, honestly, calling me pretty much every day, praying for me, praying for Jessen and I. How are you? We're with you. Are you okay? How are you going? You need some people that'll be but God in your life. Saul was killing Christians, but the call of God was on his life. Thank God that Barnabas didn't use his point of reference of his history to determine his future. He looked to God about Saul. Jessen said this at the beginning of the year, there are going to be some people in our church that'll be the greatest leaders we've ever seen in our church, and they're not even saved yet. We need some Barnabases in this room that can see what God is doing in someone's life and not be caught up in where they've been or who they were. Can I get a good amen today, church? We need people that can see with prophetic eyes the call of God on someone and call it out. Say, come on, let's go. Come to lunch. Come hang out. Here's where we're going. We need a church full of Barnabases. You know, this last week, there's this beautiful story of this Jewish man in our church. And he's been on an incredible journey with God, about a six-month journey. And there's been times where he's kind of thought he would respond, and then he's like, no. I want to learn more. But he came here last Sunday and gave his life to Christ, raised his hand in this building. And he is doing our foundations class. And I think if I was to ask him, he would say, but Jane and Graham Lee, who are taking him through the foundations class. And guess what? No one else has come. And we're like, where are they? What are they doing? But you know what? I think it might be God. Because they are having in-depth conversations with this man. And he's even saying, can we take this offline? Because we record it. Can we take some of these conversations offline? And so they're catching up with him. But I'm telling you, this is going to be the but God in his life through some people that God is using. We carry a Barnabas-like spirit in this church. I'm so thankful for Pastor Phil and Pastor Chris. Come on, who believe in people, release people, love people, see the call of God. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them and seeing things. But to get rid of that main character energy like Barnabas, you got to settle your value first. You got to settle that I am a child of God. Do you realize that you are a co-heir with Christ? Like, that is the most ridiculous. Like, let's sit down. Because that's like, what? That is insane. You and me are co-heirs with the Son of God. You know, when Jesus was baptized, the voice of the Father said, this is my Son, whom I love, and who I am well pleased with. Do you know, when you come into the family of God through Jesus Christ, the same acceptance, affirmation, and belonging, and approval is on you as a child of God. You have nothing left to prove. Your best title in life is child of God. My highest title is child of God. Lead pastor's way down here. Child of God is the greatest honor and privilege there is in life and eternal life. You've got it. So now that you know you've got it, you don't need to be the main character anymore. You're loved. The grace of God is on you. So we can get out of the way and we can be who God has called us to be. We can encourage others. Number 3 point we need to learn from Barnabas is that he was known for his encouragement. Son of encouragement. He went to Antioch, he preached the gospel, saw what God was doing, and he encouraged them. The word encourage means to call up, to beseech, to exhort, to win over, to comfort. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, little sidebar, side dig to whoever that was from the writer of Hebrews, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day coming. Guys, if they were close to the return of Jesus, if they were hours, one writer said the hour is near. If they were in the last hours, the last days, we must be in the last seconds. And we need to be the church that encourages one another. We see from the writer here that the gathering of the church is not something to neglect, and it's not something to consume. One of the impacts of the gathering of the church is to encourage one another. You know, last year I said it was kind of a challenging year, and I would walk in to our services and I'd be in worship and I'd kind of start like this, you know? Yes, Lord. You know, things were tough. Oh, yes, Lord. Yeah, you're the king. Yeah, I love you. And I'd start there. And I'd be trying to, come on, soul. And then I'd look across the room. Kaylee Karotz, she'd be basically kissing the stage, just worshiping, wholehearted. I'd look across the row, see Jeff and Chris Cooper, lost in worship. And my hands would start to just go up, you know, like Ron Burgundy. I'd just be like, huh? You need to be in an environment that's going to encourage you. And so either every Sunday you're going to need encouragement or you're going to need to be the encouragement. Can I get a good amen today? Every Sunday you're going to either need encouragement or you're going to need to be the encouragement. So please don't downgrade lifting your hands. Please don't downgrade lifting your voice. Please don't downgrade staying after the service and having coffee and not being in a rush, because you're here to encourage one another. Come on, everybody. Amen. So here's what I believe we need to do to be like a Barnabas-like church. Change the goal of gathering. Don't come to church thinking, what am I going to get out of church today? Let's not be Christian connoisseurs, rating and checking in on the service, putting a score. Change the goal of gathering. I am here to encourage others. Who can I encourage? Who can I stir up? Who can I share a story of what God is doing in my life with? Who can I hear a story from because I need some encouragement? Let's change the goal of gathering. Number 2, let's ask the Holy Spirit to be a Barnabas-like spirit church. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. Like who today? Can I tell you, we are a friendly church? Amen. But sometimes you can feel the pressure that you need to know everybody. Can I just release you from the pressure? You do not need to know everybody. Amen. Everyone just, All the sanguines are like, But every Sunday, there might be one or two people that if you, before you come to church, you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, who could I encourage today? Show me. Bring them into my path. Lord, who could I have a word of knowledge for today? Who could I prophesy over? Do you know prophecy at its core is encouragement? It's encouragement. It's when you see something and you say it. We are not the kind of church that sees good things and thinks about them. We are not the kind of church that sees a young person worshiping God and thinks good thoughts towards them. Prophesy over them. Lift them up. Buy them a coffee. Invest in them. Believe in them. Use your mouth. Come on, everybody. Say it. Say it. The third thing, worship team, you can join me, is plan with others in mind. What if on a Sunday, together we all planned with others in mind? Like not just where am I going to go to lunch, but who am I going to take to lunch this Sunday? Like what if on a Saturday evening we prayed as a family and said, Lord, how could you use us tomorrow? I am telling you, that would revolutionize church. That would turn a city upside down. We are not here to just play church. We are here to change a city. And this is what we see in the book of Acts. Intentionality. Planning for others. Making room. Thinking about others. And God breathes on it by his Spirit. And it explodes. It reaches and it changes cities. Cities were changed in the book of Acts. Cities were changed. Thousands of people. So let's be like Barnabas.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.